We are in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. While you're turning there, I'm going to tell you the story of our weekend. Kara and I had the great opportunity to go to the Church of Christ at Mountain View in Winchester, Virginia. That's the church that Doug Hardman speaks at. He's been our revival speaker several times here. He was here in the spring. If you were here for that, you know you were blessed by it. There's still sermons that he preached, especially Monday night, that really spoke to me. So it was a real honor to be asked by him and his church to come speak at their rally. And the rally was called Winning at Winchester. And to give you an idea of how intense this is, it's a weekend about evangelism, about training everybody in the church on how to do evangelism. And there's 12 preachers in 3 days. 12 hours, almost 12 hours of preaching over 3 days. So if you think I'm long-winded, but we had a great time. Kara and I have determined that Satan hates our church. And Satan hates us because we were going to a church that Satan also hates. And if you're ever curious why your plane gets canceled, why your rental car gets delayed, why you get sick in a restaurant, why you get sick in the front yard of the hotel, and have to go to the ER all in a 48-hour period, it's because Satan hates you. And so that's what happened to us. We left Thursday afternoon, and our flight was really early Friday morning. So our plan was to stay at Kara's aunt's that evening. Well, about 8 o'clock, we're settling in. Everybody's doing fine. We're kind of getting ready to go to bed early. And Kara starts feeling really tense in her feet and in her legs, and she's starting to get a little woozy and not feeling very good. So her aunt pulls out a blood pressure cuff and puts it on her, and her blood pressure is 173 over 118. That's pretty high. And so instead of going to bed, we went to the emergency room, and we were there for a few hours, as is typical. And that particular emergency room has 3 different waiting rooms. Don't know why, but all the same. And so we finally get called in. They give her some blood pressure medicine. It goes down moderately. It's still high, so she's going to go to the doctor on Tuesday, but it was okay for her to fly. So we go to the airport. Because we went to the ER, we didn't get to sleep. So we get to the airport, and we get there about 4 in the morning, and our flight is supposed to leave at about an hour, hour and a half later. Well, we fall asleep there in the Kansas City Airport seats for about 40 minutes, and Kara taps me on the shoulder and says, "Josh, our plane's been delayed." I think, okay, that happens, right? I mean, that's airplanes, right? So anyway, we go up to the counter, and if you have gone to an airport, never flown in your life, the people behind the counter are paid not to smile, right? Because they have probably the world's worst job, putting up with planes that are delayed or canceled. So we go up to the lady. We're tired. We're exhausted. But we're trying to have a Christ-like attitude, and we say, "So, you know, our plane's delayed. What's going on?" And she says with a frown, "We do not believe the plane will ever take off." So we're like, okay, so what do we do now? And she said, "Well, we'll have to find you a completely alternative flight. We do not believe that the flight crew will ever show up." Apparently there was a mass defection at U.S. Airways that weekend because the pilot and the whole crew was not going to show up. So we got on a different plane about 11 in the morning, and that went pretty smoothly. So we're thinking, okay, the worst is over. Went to the ER. Plane's been delayed by 7 hours. The worst is over. Until we get to Washington, D.C. And flying into Washington, D.C. is probably the closest you could come to flying into Hades because of the traffic and the extreme angst and just everything that's going on, and it's so busy. Well, we get to the car rental shuttle, and, of course, what weekend is this weekend? Labor Day. And so everybody and their cousins trying to rent a car. I was pretty convinced that infants were trying to rent a car, as many people as were in line. And we wait 3 hours in a hot office to rent our car. We have no sleep. We've been to the ER. Plane's been delayed. We're just, you know, beyond ourselves at this point. And we start driving to Winchester. And, you know, this is not something that Satan invented that weekend, but he obviously invented it. And that's called tolls. If you've ever driven in that part of the country, there are toll roads everywhere. And we paid $15 in tolls in a total of 20 miles of driving. We were so hungry that when we finally got out of D.C. and felt like it was safe enough to get out of our car, we stopped by an Arby's. There was a toll on the exit to get back on the highway. And it was $5 to just get off the road back to the highway. So at this point, you know, you're just thinking to yourself, I just want to get to the hotel. Well, I got sick in Arby's, and Kara waited till we got to the hotel and got sick in the front yard of the hotel. So we were definitely not a selling point for that hotel that day because, you know, we're both staggering. We haven't showered in 30 hours. We're just exhausted by the time we arrive, and Kara just lets it all go there in the front yard. So, you know, our goal was to go to the rally that night and the next morning, but we were so beside ourselves, we just went inside the hotel and fell asleep. So here's my theory. Satan hates this church. Satan hates us. Satan hates you. Satan hates the Church of Christ at Winchester because we are doing the will of God the best we can, and we hate him. So if you're ever curious why your plane is delayed, there's a preacher on it. So that's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. The flight home was much smoother, and the speaking there was a wonderful pleasure, and I actually stayed under my time limit. Can you believe that? And we had a great time, and since the word of the Lord was preached successfully that weekend, and many people made decisions, it was a wonderful time. There were several hundred in the audience. The way home was smooth as could go. I think that was Satan saying, I couldn't prevent you from coming, and it was God's way of saying, welcome home. So it's good to be back home. It's good to be back in the house of God. It's good to preach his word. Let's go into it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Satan wants you to believe a lie. Satan hates you, and therefore he wants you to believe a lie. He wants you to believe that the plan of God and the will of God is mysterious. There's even books out there in Christian bookstores, which, by the way, can be the home of a lot of bad theology and a lot of bad doctrine, and they will try to convince you that God's will is mysterious. They'll try to convince you that the plan of God is a mystery and that you have to seek it through alternative means like meditation, or you have to seek it through, in the 1970s it was drugs, or whatever the world comes up with, that we have to use some kind of transcendental state to know what the will of God is. That is a lie. The will of God is plain. God's plan is obvious. Shed from your mind the lies of Satan that you don't know what to do from God, because he has wrote it down and he has made it abundantly clear. It says here that I rejoice in what was suffered for you. We know that Christ suffered. We know that Christ died. We know he was buried. We know he rose again. We know he ascended into heaven to receive coronation as king, to become our high priest, and to begin the kingdom of God. These are things that we know, and it is what we need to know. And so therefore it says here, and it continues, I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. We're all at different stages in discipleship. That doesn't make anybody better than anyone else. That's another lie of Satan. Satan wants to say, well, that person's better than you, or you could never do that, or you can't serve God, or you're not qualified. That's what Satan wants you to believe, that you can't do God's work because you're not righteous enough or because you have sin in your life. Christ on the cross is able to forgive all sin. He is able to accept repentance from any man. We're told in 2 Peter that he wants all to come to repentance. God has a plan for you, and that plan is obvious. So therefore, what is lacking in the church is when we still have more to learn and more to do, but we can understand what that is plainly through Scripture. Paul here says about himself, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its partiality? No, in its fullness. You have in front of you the full, absolute, and total revelation of God. Do not believe it by anybody else's words that there's more to add to it or that there's anything to take away. This is the word of God in its fullness. The more we know it, the more we know the will of God. If we do the word of God, the will of God will be fulfilled. It says here that God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. We are grateful that God, in His mercy, gave the New Testament covenant, gave His promise, gave forgiveness, gave the plan of salvation to not only Jews, but also Gentiles, of which we are all here. That God, in His love and in His mercy, has extended His forgiveness, extended His mission, extended His purpose to all people everywhere who would submit to Him and be faithful to Him. You have in front of you the Word of God in its fullness. Stop believing the lie of Satan, the enemy, the roaring lion who hates you. Stop believing the lies that you cannot know the will of God. You can. You can know it in His Word. There is so much to do. There is so much to learn. The depth of God's Word is so deep. It is so wide that no human mind can possibly comprehend all of it. It is presumptuous of us to ask for more when we have not learned what is yet here. What is in the Word of God is for everybody, everywhere, and it is for all to do. It says here in verse 26 that it once was a mystery. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. In God's Word, it says the Word of God, the will of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God has been exposed. It has been disclosed. Do not believe the lies of Satan who tells you that God is holding back on you. I had somebody tell me a couple of weeks ago that they are having difficulty hearing the voice of God. Their mind is clouded. I told them, you are not listening to the voice of God. You are unknowingly listening to Satan, who is the father of lies, who is the father of deception, who is the father of confusion, who is the father of division. God's Word is clear. And we should not listen to the lies of the devil. If you want to know what the will of God is for your life, it's in the Word of God. It says here, it has been disclosed to the saints. When we learn the milk of the gospel, when we learn the good news, when we learn the plan of salvation, and we follow through, that is just the beginning. For the rest is disclosed to the saints, it says there. The reason why the rest is disclosed to the saints, it is because with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the help of your church body, with the help of weekly Lord's Supper, with the help of obeying Him, we then come to a fuller understanding of the Word of God. We can't do that outside of those institutions He set up. We cannot worship the Lord God without obeying Him. We cannot understand the Word of God fully without being faithful to Him. It says here, it has been now disclosed to the saints. Verse 25 says, the Word of God in its fullness. You don't need to listen to lies and distractions and divisions anymore. Don't listen to traditions and thoughts that distract you from the purpose of God. Read the Word of God. Do what it says. God's plan is obvious. I was teaching Richard's class today. Obviously, he is absent. He is speaking at a church. He's preaching at a church. Richard's in high demand in the local area churches. They know how well of a preacher and speaker he is. And we're blessed to have so many of those in our congregation. We're sort of a church that sends out other preachers, and that's really cool. And I hope to continue that tradition over time. But I was speaking in Richard's Sunday school class, and I was describing to them, and everybody here at this church knows, I am the world's worst mechanic, amen? And you've heard some of my stories and escapades, but there's a pattern I've learned when it comes to if I want to learn how to do something. If you want to know how to do something, you should read the instructions, obviously, but also it's useful to watch, either live in person or on a video, somebody do it. That way you could follow along in the instructions and also have an example of how it was done, right? If you want to know what the will of God is, read the instructions and then read the examples of what people did with those instructions. And what we learn in the book of Acts is that the God's plan of salvation does not involve just faith or just repentance or just confession or even just baptism. It involves all of those things. There's 8 examples in the books of Acts that people come to Christ. And at whatever stage of salvation they were in, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the Scripture meets them where they are and helps them complete the obvious plan of God. If they already had faith, then they would repent, confess, and be baptized. If they already had faith and they were already in a repentant state, then they would confess and be baptized. In Acts chapter 19, they had all the above except baptism, so they were baptized. If you want to know the instructions of God, you're really fortunate because you have not only the instructions, you have examples. It's sort of the YouTube video of how to become a Christian. Right there in the book of Acts. 8 different videos, 8 different examples of how people come to Christ. The plan of God is not mysterious, it is plain. It is the lies of Satan. It is sometimes false teachers, both past and present, that have filled our minds with mystery and filled our minds with division or tradition or whatever it is that gets in the way of the now fully disclosed Word of God in its fullness. Scripture teaches that there is no man, there is no mediator between us and Jesus Christ. That in fact, all believers are a priesthood. You are a priest. If you will follow God's plan of salvation, welcome to the priesthood. You now have direct contact and relationship with Jesus Christ. He is our high priest who offered up his blood for us at his ascension, at his coronation, on the mercy seat of the tabernacle of God. And our sins were forgiven in that day. Lord, our God is good. Verse 27 continues and says, to them God has chosen to make known. Do you see that? He didn't say to make unknown or to make partially known or to make a mystery, but rather to make known among the Gentiles, that's you and I, the glorious riches of this mystery. To make known the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Does that not sound glorious? Does God not have an anticipation for us great and awesome things? When I was at the Church of Christ in Winchester, I wanted to not only be there at the rally, but I kind of wanted to take a tour of the campus. They haven't always been a church of 700. They haven't always been the home of a Bible college. They had small, humble beginnings. Doug Hardman told me that it was 12 years ago when he felt like they really started to get on a hard New Testament path. And it's been since that time that they have grown, that God has blessed them. They have a Bible college on campus. How cool is that? Their tuition rate's only $50 a credit hour, which is 5 to 8 to 12 times cheaper than most Bible colleges. If you want to learn how to be a preacher, you can go to that college, do it while you can pay as you go, so to speak. You can work a minimum wage job and still afford to go to college there. Can't say that for most other places. And they train preachers and they do a good job of it. That little church has grown. God has blessed them. They have 2 services. They have a blend of different types of music. They have a variety of tools they use to reach both the young and the old. I was so impressed that through 12 hours of preaching, how many young people were in that audience. There was a lot of people under 40. There was a lot of people even under 30. I used to be able to say I was a part of that group, but I've graduated now. But so many young people. I met one young person. He's 34 years old. He started in that church when he was 16. He is now the Bible class teacher of the senior high adult or the senior high high school students. And right after I got done preaching, he came up to me and he said, "Good God, preacher." He also said, "I've been told to let you know that Batman was coming to speak." And if you're laughing right now, it's because you know I have a Batman costume. I did not, however, appear as Batman. However, I have volunteered to do that in the future. So if you hear a rumor, it's probably true. But the point is, he has done good work. Doug has worked with him. The other evangelists in that church have worked with him. He is not a preacher himself, but he is a volunteer in that church, now have been a member of that church for 18 years, and has served the Lord God in that capacity. It was so cool to see so many young people listening to 12 hours of preaching. I heard a rumor, although I can't confirm it because I wasn't there, and they don't have the CDs ready yet, but apparently Chuck Dowdy had preached the night before. And in that particular church, they have a system where there's a red light, a yellow light, and a green light. And they do that because us preachers, right? And the green light means you've preached for 30 minutes. It turns yellow at that point. 35 minutes, it turns to red. If you cross 40, the red light starts blinking. At 45, they shoot you. Not quite. But I heard a rumor that Chuck Dowdy ignored the blinking red light for about 40 minutes. But if you know Chuck, he's the professor. He's one of the main professors there at Christian Kingdom College. And he's just a wonderful speaker and preacher. So I'm going to try to get a hold of that when it's published. But just wonderful, humble beginnings. People doing the work of God continuously, slowly, but continuously getting closer to a New Testament standard. And now being at the place where they are producing preachers and disciples on a regular basis. And their congregation has reached a point where they look forward to, they bring out campers to 12 hours of preaching in 3 days. God is good. It goes to show that he's not only working here, he's working elsewhere. And he's working on all of us. It says here that God has made known the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are the hope of glory. We often would read that and we think Christ is the hope of glory. Christ is the glory. We are the hope of glory. Through faithfulness and through obedience, because of the cross of Christ, because of his resurrection, because of his high priesthood, we now have become the hope of glory. It is our job to grow up in Christ. It is our job to share Christ. It is our job to encourage and build up his church, the kingdom of God here on earth, one day to ascend to be with him forever in heaven. And so, verse 28, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone. Does that say teaching just a few? No, it says teaching everyone. So, we're all involved with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, Paul says, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. We were reading in Acts chapter 9 this morning in Bible class, and how Paul went from being a murderous persecutor of the church to going through his conversion, or his faith on the Damascus Road, then his conversion in Damascus when he had an experience of faith. He repented of his sins. He confessed to Ananias. He was baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 22:16. And then only days later, he was preaching in Jerusalem with all fervor. Doesn't that sound like the Apostle Paul? His personality didn't change when he became a Christian. Instead, all that murderous energy became awesome preaching for the Word of God. And he became from a murderer to the apostle of the Gentiles. In fact, it says there that the church had to remove him from being possibly lynched in a mob. He was so into the preaching of the gospel, he so desperately wanted his Jewish countrymen to come to the gospel, that they had to pull him away before he was killed in his efforts to do so. And I think that's what he's referring to here. Struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. The Lord God wants to powerfully work in you. And you do that, and you can become that, the more you read and study the Word of God. Because the Word of God is in its fullness. It has been revealed. It is yours for the having if you choose to submit to it. But let me give you a warning. If you do submit to the will of God and you learn the Word of God, your life will never be the same. Because Satan will hate you even more. God will bless you even more. There's one thing I can promise you. Serving Christ is never boring. But I can also tell you that it's going to reach the hope of glory. That one day you will walk into heaven, not by your own merit, but by the merit of Christ. And the Father will say, well done, good and faithful servant. To spend all eternity in heaven with God. Isn't that what we all want? If today you've heard a message that has pricked your heart. If today the Word of God has spoken to you, not me, but the Word of God has spoken to you. You've learned today that the mystery of God is disclosed. You've learned that it's in the fullness of the Word of God. If you wish to give your life to that revelation, you have that opportunity today. Let me tell you something else. We offer an invitation right now, which is a public invitation. But I hang around after church. I drive separately from Kara on purpose because I never know what God's going to do. And oftentimes, after everybody's gone, somebody will grab me and want to talk. Sometimes they want to talk about growing in Christ and learning more. Sometimes they want to talk about whether or not they've ever been baptized or if they were baptized for the right reasons. Sometimes they want to become a Christian for the very first time, following all the steps of salvation. Whatever it is, the Lord is inviting you to it. The fullness of the Word of God has been revealed. It is plain, it is obvious, and we are all accountable to it. Your preacher on this stage is no better than anyone else. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And that's what you can become today. Christ died for you. He rose again for you because he loves you. If that's a Christ you want to make your personal Lord and Savior, come down and see me today.